Good morning, everybody. It's Teresa from Sojourn Retreat House. It is the 12th of July, 2022, and today's teaching is going to be about prayer. I'm actually going to be doing a two-part series, and so this will be part one of that. And I'm wanting to look at, and the title really, more specifically, is effective prayer. And I want to quickly just stress before I continue that I'm not saying that what I'm going to be teaching today is the only way to pray. But I believe that through experience and some teaching, I've come to realize that there really is a much more effective way to pray. And I know that you will all agree with me that there's been times when you've prayed and your prayers have been answered. And certainly there's been times where your prayers have not been answered and they've been seemingly good prayers. And so I really just pray and hope that I'm going to be imparting some keys that will help you to get to a place where it will yield so much better results. I want to today specifically look at what prayer is, because what is the purpose of prayer? And then secondly, I also want to look at what prayer is not. So I'm going to start with what prayer is not. And in fact, Jesus prayed on this, taught on this a lot in the New Testament. In Matthew 6, verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners and pray to be seen by others." And so from this verse, we can see that this is the wrong way to pray. And I believe that, yeah, Jesus is speaking about the motive of our heart. Why are we praying? So often our prayers are just a religious ceremony so that others can see that we are praying in a particular situation. And I think he's specifically addressing the need for recognition from people, yeah. And so I have to stress that our motives must be right. The second thing I want to look at is that in Matthew 6, verse 7, it says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." And this was something that I really had to learn as well, because I used to try and spend a lot of time with God, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But what he's saying, yeah, is that we need not have these extra long prayers. And I think, again, it's become a bit of a ritual and certainly a religion. In fact, in the New Testament, there's only two times where Jesus prayed all night. And I'll go into a little bit more detail with that one later. But if you had to do a bit of a self-study, which is what I've done, and look at all the prayers that Jesus prayed, they really were very short. I'm going to use two examples, and both of these are probably some of the most profound things that Jesus did. And it's where he spoke to the storm. He literally just said, "Peace, be still." And when he rose Lazarus from the dead, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." I've also come to know that there's no biblical evidence or proof to show that we need to set out about a certain amount of time every single day at a specific time to be with God. And can I just say, yeah, that I absolutely love doing this. So I'm not saying that it's wrong to do that, but I think the motive has to be right. It shouldn't be because somebody's told you that that is what is required of you. It should be because you want to spend time with God. But also, I really do believe that when we set time aside like that with God, I think it teaches us discipline. I certainly found that it taught me discipline. And for me, my personal preference is to spend time with God early in the morning before my day starts, and to spend time in the Word, because otherwise I find I get so distracted that even if I try and set time aside during the day, I don't get a lot of time with Him. But I'm also going to show you a way where in the second session where you're able to actually speak or spend time with God a lot more during the day. And so I'm not saying it's wrong. I enjoy spending time with God like that. But there's no requirement for that. And I think a lot of people get swayed by that. They get told that that is what is required. Think about a mom with two little babies. It's virtually impossible to be able to do that. And so would that mean that she's wrong and that she doesn't spend time with God, a set time? I also used to find that when I did that, I would perhaps miss a day, and then I'd get into such a state because I was feeling so condemned because I'd missed a day, and then I'd try and catch up, and it just becomes a ritual or a duty. And I really don't believe that that's God's heart for us. And then the last thing I want to say to you, and specifically about that, I always try and look at it from a perspective where if my hubby had to say to me that he's going to spend an hour with me, because I must tell you as well, in those hours, there was time where I'd set the time aside but had nothing to say to God. And so really, it was futile. I'd sit there and try and find things to talk to him about. I would hate it if my hubby did that to me. If he said to me, I can spend an hour a day with you and then try and fill that time with anything to say. And so the last thing I want to look at as well is that so often our prayers, and I am so guilty of this, so often our prayers are just a grocery list. We have a whole list of what we need from God and we list them to him when we pray. And secondly, we also very often talk to him about all that is wrong in our lives. I want to say complain, but it's more just that we want to inform him of all the things that are going on in our lives. And I want to show you two verses today that really got me thinking this morning about this particular verse. And so it says in Psalm 139, verse 2, it says, "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways." And so I'm having a good giggle at myself, because those very prayers where I listed all the things that were going on in my life and I felt the need to tell him, he knew already. And so was I wasting time where I could have rather just been loving on him and just spending time with him? The second example is in Matthew 6 verse 8. It says, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And that also made me think about how much time I was spending just telling him everything that I need, when in actual fact he knew it. And so I know at this point you're saying to me, yes, Teresa, but then what is the point of prayer? And I want to say that it says in the word that we do need to ask. And so I'm not saying that that is not what prayer is about. We do need to speak to God about our needs, even though he knows, I know he wants to hear from us. And I believe it mobilizes him as well. But I want to say that if you look at, I'm just going to go through the verses of where it actually says that we need to ask. It says in Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And then in Philippians 4, verse 6, "Say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so there you can see that we do need to ask. But what I want to stress today is that that shouldn't be our only or main reason for prayer. In fact, that should only take up 5% of our prayer life. And so again, you're going to say to me, well, what's the rest? And I want to say to you, and there I'm going to use another example again, where I say, imagine if you did have a bit of time to spend with your spouse. And while you were with them, all they did was give you a list of what they need and certainly a list of what their problems are. I don't think it's going to be very nice to spend time with them. And so today I want to teach you that prayer is just communion with God. It is relationship. God is with us and we can have communion with him all day long. We don't have to set time aside for him. I want you to think of Adam and Eve in the garden. They didn't have lack, so they didn't need to ask him for anything. They didn't have any problems which they needed to make him aware of. And they certainly didn't need to go back about sin or anything. So what did they do? They literally just spent time in communion with God. So the purpose of prayer is communion, it's fellowship, and it's relationship with God. It is thanking him, it's loving and appreciating, it's spending time with him. We were created to be in communion with God. In John 3, verse 16, it says, "This is eternal life, that they may know thee." And this word for know means intimacy. It refers to experiential knowledge of God. And so it would be the same as meeting a friend for coffee and just chatting to them. Yes, you can ask them some stuff, but that wouldn't be the bulk of your conversation if you met with your friend. And I want to also show you that prayer is dialogue. It's not monologue. So often we come there and we just talk the whole time. In fact, God is able to speak back to us. And as much as we speak and converse with him, we can also hear from him. And so as we meditate on his word in our silent time, or even during the day, if you take a word and you really just meditate on it for the whole day, he can reveal things to us. And in doing so, he's also then speaking to us. And so it's appropriate to ask, but this is not the only reason for prayer. When we just focus on what we need from God, we miss out on this incredible relationship that we're able to have with him. The word says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so if you seek him, the things that they speak of here is our physical needs. I just want to close off by giving an example in the word as well. And it's with Paul and Silas when they were in prison. They were singing and praising God, but they didn't do it to get out of prison. And the reason I know this is because when the shackles fell off and the gates opened, they didn't leave. They were sitting, spending time with God. They were praising him because they wanted to and because they loved him. And that is what prayer is all about. And so I really just pray this week that you would have time and that you would find him in your everyday life. In your every single minute of the day, you're able to spend time with him. And there was actually a testimony from a very famous pastor who was approached by another famous pastor. And this guy immediately jumped in and said, well, you know, how much time do you spend with God in the mornings to get all this revelation that you've got? And is it 2 hours? Is it 3 hours? Because I spend 5 hours a day. And this pastor just looked at him and said, well, I don't actually have a set time. I just spend the whole day with God. And so I really pray that you'll get to a point where your prayer life would be so filled with love and praise and worship for him, and that you would really experience a true relationship with him, because that is what prayer is about. And I just pray that you have a blessed week, and we'll touch base again next week, and I'll continue the teaching on prayer. I'll chat soon. Thanks. Bye.